Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. I want to talk to you today about God's ways are not our ways. I think about a passage in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 that says, "For my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and so are my thoughts higher than yours." And you know, so many times when life happens, it's hard for me to realize that, but the example I always think of is obviously football season started, and I love football, pro, college, high school, and you know, they have offensive and defensive coordinators, and most of the time they're up in the air, up in a booth, and they can look down and they have headsets on. They communicate down to another coach or player down on the field because they have a better view of what's going on. They can see the plays develop and the schemes that are going on both on the offensive and defensive ends. And you know, that visual just came to me. That's how God is with our lives. So many times when we're in the trenches, what's going on in the field, the football field, in the game of life, you know, we can't see what's going on around us because we're just, quote unquote, trying to keep our head above water, fighting for our life, trying to keep the quarterback from getting sacked, if you want to use the quarterback analogy, the sports analogy there. And yet, you know, God sees the big picture. And, you know, I love, there's a passage in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 26. It's a long passage, and I don't have time to read it this morning. And I actually like the Message version of this, but it talks about, you know, God's ways are not our ways, this in verses 5 through 7. And I wanted to share that part of this passage. It says, "Listen, dear friends, isn't it clear by now that God operates quite differently? He chooses the worlds down and out as the kingdom's first citizens with full rights and privileges. This kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God." Let's say that again. Verse 6 there, "This kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God. And here you are abusing these same citizens. Isn't it the high and mighty who exploit you and use the courts to rob you blind? Aren't they the ones who scorn the new name Christian used in your baptisms?" And so he's in this passage here pointing out that the religious people, you know, were kind of looking down on some of the new followers of Jesus. And I just want to remind you, you know, I repeated that one part of verse 6 about the kingdom of God is promised to anyone who loves God and accepts his son Jesus. And, you know, I hear so many people say, well, you know, I'd go to church or, you know, I try to maybe get to know God or Jesus, but man, my life's really just not in a good place right now. There's a lot of things that are not God honoring. Well, you know, that's actually the perfect time just to come and say, God, you know my life is a mess. And yet, you know, I need you. I need a Savior. I love that Jesus, when he was at the well and the woman came to get water at the well, and really she shouldn't even spoke to him. He shouldn't have spoke to her, but they did. And he told her life story. He said, you know, you've been married 5 times, and the woman the man that you're living with now is not your husband. And he said, I want to encourage you to either, you know, get married to him or, you know, get out of the relationship. And most of all, do not sin anymore. But, you know, I love you. And, you know, so many times we think, well, God can never use us. But, you know, it was the first time that Jesus is called the Messiah when he meets the woman at the well. And then she left and went and told everybody, you know, this man, he told me my whole life story and knew everything about me, and yet he told me that, you know, God loves me and he forgives me. And I love that God would take somebody that the world would say is a mess and needs a Messiah. I mean, 5 marriages and was already living with somebody else, another man, yet God used that example, and was the first time in the Bible that Jesus was called the Messiah. So maybe your life is a mess today, and you're thinking, you know, God can never love me. But as we just read in James chapter 2, verse 5, isn't it clear by now that God operates quite differently? And some of you may grow up in a church and, you know, it's fire and brimstone, and, you know, there is a hell. When we die one day, we are going to have to answer a question to God. We all will stand before him. But I'm so thankful God gives us the answer to the test. What did you do about my son, Jesus? And if we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, then we know where our eternal life will be. It will be in heaven. Yet, so many times people think it's all about rules, and it's not. It's about a relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship. And, you know, in verse 8 of chapter 2 of James, it says, love others as you love yourself. And, you know, I mean, a lot of times the reason people can't love others is because they don't love themselves. And, you know, here's the deal. I mean, if we compare ourselves to the cover of people on magazines and the movie stars and all that stuff we see on the internet with airbrushing and photoshopping, just all the things that go on, you know, we're never going to measure up. There's always somebody better looking, somebody taller, somebody with more money, a bigger car, a bigger house, a better job, whiter teeth. I mean, whatever it is, their kids have, you know, better grades. I don't know. The list goes on and on and on. Yet, I love the saying that the ground at the foot of the cross is level. It's for everybody. And that Jesus was crucified between two criminals, and he was crucified like a criminal. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, I believe it's verse 5, it says that Jesus humbled himself, being obedient even upon a death upon a cross. So two things I want to remind you this morning out of this passage in James chapter 2 verses 5-7. One is that God's ways are not the world's ways. And two, the kingdom of God is available to everyone. Everyone. And, you know, a lot of us know John 3:16. It is football season. You'll see the sign held up at a lot of games at, you know, John 3:16. And a lot of people, even if they're not believers of Jesus, they know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Well, there's one thing about that verse that, you know, I'd never thought about the other day, and I was listening to a sermon on a podcast, and it said, you know, for God, he said, think about the word in John 3:16, so. It could have just said, for, you know, God loved the world, but it said, for God so loved the world, emphasizing, man, he really loved us. For God so loved the world. You know, you hear people say, oh, man, I so love, you know, Grater's ice cream. You know, or I so love a certain TV show, whatever. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. But God so loved us that he gave his best, his one only son, Jesus. And I'm always reminded when I make a hospital visit and I see a precious little baby and their little fingernails, their little toenails, that, you know, Jesus came into the world just like this, but at the age of 33, his father said, son, I'm sorry, you're going to have to surrender your one and only life so that people will not be separated from me again. But you know what? On top of that beautiful verse of John 3:16, I like John 3:17 almost as much, maybe even more, I guess, just because I am so used to knowing how much God loves me and so thankful and humble for that. But the next verse, John 3:17, we don't talk a lot about, but it said, for God did not send his son in the world to condemn it, but to save it. We'll say it again. John 3:17, God did not send his son, Jesus, into the world to condemn it, but to save it. You know, friends, I see so many people, and I've listened, being in ministry now for over 15 years, people are so much harder on themselves than God would be. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, there is no condemnation for those who have accepted Jesus. So, friends, you need to forgive yourself. You made a mistake. Ask God for forgiveness. And do like Jesus told the woman at the well, don't sin anymore. But if you do, come back and ask him to help give you strength. But forgive yourself. The Bible says that as far as the east is to the west, that God remembers our sins no more. And yet, if we don't love ourselves, we can't forgive others because we can't extend love and grace to them because we've not accepted it ourselves. And I know a lot of people that have been followers of Jesus for a long time that really, really struggle with this. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, when we don't forgive others, we show that we don't understand or appreciate the mercy that God has shown us. And, you know, it talks about in James chapter 2 that we've been focused on today. I'm talking out of the Message version. It says in the verse 13 there, it says, kind mercy wins over harsh judgment every time. Friends, you know, people do us wrong. It happens. You know, we're not in heaven. We're on this earth. And, you know, people are going to do us wrong. And, you know, a lot of times we want to do the old eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And yet, friends, when I think about how much time God, how many times God has extended me grace and mercy, you know, I need to offer that more when people make mistakes that affect me. Don't get me wrong. If it's a repeated offense where somebody does you wrong and over, and then you have to address situations. But in a one-time situation, maybe you do need to extend mercy and grace because of the mercy and grace that God has extended to us. And, you know, I also love in James chapter 2, verses 18 through 19, it says, faith and works and faith, they fit together hand in glove. So, friends, if you want to exhibit your faith, you've got to do some things. Like I said, extend mercy or grace to others or help those less fortunate. So many times we get focused on our wants, and most of you listening, we don't have many needs. If you're listening to this in a car, if you've got transportation or you've got a computer, you're listening online or you're listening to on your cell phone and the podcast copy of this, you know, you're doing pretty good. You may not have too many needs. And there's a difference in wants and needs, especially here in the United States of America. But I want to encourage you to make sure that you do have some works. You're not saved by your works, okay? But the Bible says faith without action is dead. And I want to encourage you to ask God, where is it that you need to put, so the old saying goes, your money where your mouth is. Or they had the big, Reb White, and I think it was called Boom concert at Rupp Arena recently, and I heard that Toby Keith was there, and man, I used to love Toby Keith when he first came out. I knew his music a lot better, his older music. I don't know his new music as much now, but he had that song, A Little Less Talk and A Lot More Action. And you know what? That is so true, even as followers of Jesus, that sometimes it's great if we talk a good game, but when do we extend grace to others? I've opened up a bedroom in my house, a spare bedroom, to a guy that's trying to get back on his feet, that had been incarcerated. He's got two kids. He's got twins that are five, and they live with their mom, but he's wanting to get back involved in their life, and he got one job, and now he's got a second job. He's working two jobs trying to make ends meet. Doesn't make a lot of money either one of those places, but he's trying to get his life back together. And it's been an adjustment, you know, having somebody, a guest in my house all the time. But you know what? Felt like God told me to do that, and so I'm trying to be obedient. So I don't know what it is that maybe God's asking you to do, but maybe it's time to do a little less talk and start having a lot more action, as the prophet Toby Keith would say. And I say that tongue-in-cheek, but I really do feel there's somebody listening today that God's been telling you to do a certain type of act to help bless somebody, whether it's giving them money, or it could be something as big as a car or some clothes that you have, or a gift card from Kroger or some, I don't know what that is, but you and God know what it is. And I will encourage you today to be the hands and feet of Jesus and step out in faith and bless somebody and have a little less talk and a lot more action. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.